Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Vince.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are the lead pastors of the Outlet Community Church. And wherever you are in the world, our heart is to add value to your life.
That's right.
Whether it's an encouraging word, whether it's a topic in the Bible, whether it's a life skill that you're looking to develop and hone in on, allow us to be an outlet for you.
Yes, and our prayer is that wherever you are, whether you're right here in service or you're out in the world in the nation, listen, our prayer is that God meets you right where you are. We all have needs, we all have things, but our God is able, and He's able to bless you and get you where you need to be.
We have hundreds of hours of digital content that is available for you to consume free of charge. Freely we receive, freely we want to give it back to you. So make it a point to check out our page, check out our website at theoutletcommunity.com, and you'll be able to find countless hours of videos, podcasts, and other material to help you grow in your walk with God.
Hey, if you like some of the content, like, subscribe, share it, and we'd love that. See your family and friends.
So open up your heart and get ready to receive all that God has for you.
So if you're new to the Outlet, welcome. But for those of us who have been here, we have been in a series called Seasons. Have y'all been enjoying the series so far? Seasons? It's been really good. And last week, my husband spoke on Father's Day, and he talked about the heart of the Father towards us. He talked about His character towards us, His love towards us, and His response toward us. And that was all good and fine, wasn't it? Because our God is a loving God. But this week, oh, buddy, this week, God has me on assignment to talk about how He grows and produces His character within us. Amen. I'm super excited about that. Let's go ahead and pray. So, Daddy, I just thank You for this time. I thank You for this moment. I thank You for Your precious people, Your sheep, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You intervene on this morning, Father, only like You know how. Father, I pray, and I am surrendered, and I am submitted to You, Father. My tongue is connected to that of Your Spirit, O Lord, and I am speaking the very things You have for Your people on this morning. Father, I thank You for every heart that's in here. May they be arrested by the message, Father, but more importantly, may they encounter Your love and Your grace on this morning. We give You all the praise and we honor You in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Every heart said, amen. Amen. So in talking about seasons, this week we're going to be talking about a season of growth. Seasons of growth. One thing my husband told me, and I don't even think you knew what you were saying back then, but 17 years ago, he says, Ashley, the moment we're not growing, we're dying. And that sounds so kind of harsh, but he was kind of on to something. I realized that 17 years ago that rang true, and it's still ringing true today, because here is the reality for us, you all. Growth is a necessary part of life, and it is never an option for the believer. It is never an option, but it is more so imperative that we continue to grow. You know, the Apostle Peter admonishes us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over in 2 Peter. Then Moses in Psalms 90 says, pray that we continue to grow in wisdom. Solomon tells us to grow in understanding. In Proverbs 15, the Apostle Paul says, and he encourages us to grow strong in the Lord in Ephesians 6. And then the Apostle John teaches us that in Jesus, we are to grow and bear fruit. You see, throughout the Bible, whether it be Old or New Testament, the Lord is always calling us to grow. He's always calling us to grow. But how many of you know that while growing is a vital part of life, y'all, that thing can be uncomfortable. Oh, buddy. And that's my message today. We are talking about growing pains. Growing pains. And so we all have a working definition of what a growing pain is. I wanted to give you one.
The growing pain that I'm referring to is not a physical pain. It's not one that results from an injury, but rather it's the emotional pain and the intellectual pain or uncomfortableness that comes as a result of the maturing process. It's the difficult challenges that come with developing personally, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. I love what pastor and theologian Tim Keller says. He calls growing pains the sting of success. Bishop T.D. Jakes says it's the process of turning your pressure, the process of your pressure into power. How many of you know growing pains is a necessity of life? Amen. So we're going to jump off here in James chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. And I want to define for us, what does spiritual growth really look like? Because we know we say these terms. My husband said yesterday, he said, "Ashley, we say a lot of terms in church, and I don't think people know what they mean." So I'm trying, my whole purpose today is to endeavor to break it down for us so that we all understand, right? Ain't no use to me up here talking, we don't understand nothing, amen? So we got to break it down, that thing simply, so we can all be on the same page. So James 1 in chapter 2, or verse 2, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when," notice it said when, not if, "when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." So verse 4, "so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect." Another word for perfect is mature. "And complete, needing nothing." In this scripture alone, there is so much. And the first thing it told me to do is, when troubles of any kind come, I'm supposed to be rejoicing. Has anybody ever done that before? No? Okay, well, praise the Lord, I'm not alone in this place. Because I was like, Lord, I'm supposed to be doing what now? Say what? And he says, when troubles of any kind come your way, spiritual growth calls us to, number one, find joy. Find the joy. Is the circumstance ugly? Probably. Is it uncomfortable? Yes. Is it not what you want to be going through right now? Probably so. But he says, find joy. How many of you know that's active, ain't it? That's just not a passive thing. We just can't sit back and be like, okay. It's what you call finding the silver lining. Y'all heard this? Y'all heard that phrase? You got to find the silver lining. What is there to be joyful over? He says, find joy. The next thing he says is, when your faith is tested, that word there means authenticated. So when your faith is authenticated, then your faith is to be strengthened. So we are to find joy, then we are to be strengthened in our faith. Then he goes on to say, for your endurance, that word endurance, I said another word for that is patience. But if you break patience down even more, because, you know, we all think we know what patience means, right? Let me just break that down even more. This is not a message I wanted to teach. Can y'all tell this morning? This is not what I wanted to be up here. I wanted to have us doing a holy shout, but this ain't it. So patience is the ability or power to withstand hardship or withstand stress. It's the ability or power. So not only does he tell us to find joy, but then he tells us to strengthen our faith. And then he tells us to practice patience or practice the ability to remain resolute when hardships increase. That's a tall order. How many of y'all know? That's a tall. And I don't think none of this can happen without Jesus Christ. Because I think on our best day, man, we liable to give it to you. But the Lord calls us to come up higher. He calls us to walk in maturity. And in my years of walking with the Lord, one thing I realize is when the Lord calls me higher, whether that be spiritually, emotionally, mentally, or physically, it hurts. Being called higher often hurts. And as leaders within our homes, y'all, leaders within our communities, how many of you know that growth will call us to a point where we can't really afford to throw a holy temper tantrum about stuff? We can't really afford to live in petty. Oh, amen. Some of y'all said, Pastor, you keep that for yourself. I'm not I'm over here in petty, but we can't afford to live in petty because life isn't going the way we thought it should because things aren't coming fast enough. Oh, amen. But the spiritual call, the one of spiritual maturity for every believer, is so that we can learn to endure, both in patience and with faith. Amen. I want to submit to you this. The strength of patience is faith. The strength of your patience is faith. To be strong in faith is to be long in patience. Oh, buddy. Somebody say, how do I know my faith is big? When you're able to be long in patience. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6, I love this translation. This is the Passion. I never really read from this translation, but I really liked how he broke it down. He mentions faith, and he says, don't allow your hearts to grow dull. The New Living says spiritually dull. Or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. You know, over and over and over again, you start seeing the correlation between faith and patience, and watch this, and God's promise for your life. You know, we all want the platform, don't we? We all want the promise. When we pray, we come to God so sincere. We like, oh, Jesus, I need your healing. Oh, Jesus, I need, you know, my kids. Oh, Jesus, my man. We want the promise, don't we? We want the healing. We want everything to look good, be good, act good, look good. But Jesus says oftentimes we don't want the process that comes with getting to what I've called you to. The platform looks glorious. And it is. But I will say this, the Lord is constantly developing our character so that when he blesses us with the platform, when he blesses us with the promise, our character will be able to sustain that which he has blessed us with. You know, a blessing is not a blessing if it's going to crumble you. A blessing is not a blessing if when you get it, you now over here stressed out. You over here in toil. I remember one time my husband was like, you know, we got together. We were broke, y'all. I'm just telling us. We were just broke. But it was, all we had was love. That was it. We was young and in love. And one of our good friend of ours was like, I'm going to bless you guys with a car. And we only had one car at that time. So how many of you, that sounded like a real good blessing. I was like, oh, absolutely. You going to bless me with a what? Absolutely. Let's pray that car on in. Now, let me tell you, the car he was trying to give us was a Mercedes. Now, many of you sit here and you go, that is a beautiful car, a Mercedes. Yes, y'all, no. And I don't know who drives a Mercedes in here, but if you were to tell me, how much does it cost for your oil? How much if one wheel was to pop off? You can't be taking it to Jiffy, Pep Boys. Your car's like that, you gotta take it to the actual dealership. So I said, at first I thought, oh, this is beautiful. I'm about to get a Mercedes. Then I thought, well, wait a minute, how much that car, how much them, my coins weren't reaching Mercedes length, okay? So, and you gotta be real with that. And so how many of you know, had he quote unquote blessed us with that, it wouldn't have been a blessing at all. But see, when God grows you into something and then you're able to get something from him, it won't be a toil. It'll be like, not only did God give me this, but man, he got me at a place where I can maintain my blessing. Amen. And that's where we want to be. We want to be able to maintain our blessing. But a lot of this maintenance process is truly a process. And it's us trusting God deep enough, long enough, hard enough to be able to see that which he has said come to pass in your life. And so that's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the meanwhile. What do you do in the waiting? How are we in the waiting? And I've got two questions. I'm calling this my spiritual inventory question for you today. Now, you don't got to answer them out loud. I don't want to know your business. But I do want you to reflect on these. And my first question is, are you quick to allow disappointment to set in when the process becomes too difficult? You don't answer it out loud now. Don't answer. Some of y'all say, woo! I know where y'all are. That's all right. Amen. Are you quick to allow disappointment to set in when the process becomes too difficult? My second question, here's a good one, y'all. Are you able to show the same amount of great faith that you started with on day one, but you find yourself still believing and it's day 100? How is your faith on day 100? Because there are some of us that are still believing for things, believing for people, believing for things to happen, believing for God's promises to come to pass in your life, and you haven't seen it yet. Some of you, it don't even look like it's about to come in sight. Some of you, it's like the ends ain't even meeting, Lord. You done said this, but it don't even look like that. How is your faith when you first started to believe? It was funny, my husband yesterday, we were talking about working out. We've been doing a little working out here and there. You know, we've been on our P's and Q's, kind of. Sorry, Ashley, kind of. I've been YOLOing on my food, but anyway, my workout is pretty good. And in the working out, my husband says, you know, Ashley, I like, you know, that we're getting smaller. I say, yeah, me too. He says, but I don't like what we got to do to get small. I said, me neither, you know. And our trainer says to get, you know, toned, you got to be lifting weights, lifting weights, lifting weights. See, my husband, he's a runner. He likes to run. I don't like to do any of it. So at least he was half. So amen. He's like, well, I'll run. I said, well, amen. I'll pray. I don't know. But, you know. You know, but lifting weights was the thing. And we both was like, this is not for us. I don't like this. But that was the process to get to where we need to go. And so many of us are looking at the strides we got to take when God is maybe taking us in the steps. One step, two steps. And so this morning, I want to, because I only have two of these. There are probably more, but I just have two. I want to talk about some of the myths of growing pains. Because I feel like as believers, sometimes we get into this Christian walk, and we think that because we got Jesus, everything's supposed to be peaches and roses. And we think, well, with Jesus, everything's just going to be all right. And how many of you know it is? It is going to be all right. But it's never going to be the way in which you thought it was going to look like. And so one of the myths of growing pains is that we can pray and fast our way out of the season of growth. We can pray or fast to avoid the season of growth. And what this means is you find yourself in a tight spot. And now you come to Jesus. Oh, Lord, just take this away from me. We so cute, ain't we? And the Lord looks at us and go, my grace is sufficient. We're perishing. We could be so dramatic. We ain't really perishing. But it's real, and those are the prayers we come with to him, and we come with, Lord, take this away from me. Take it away. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. I love what Lisa Bevere says. She says, the process is a season sent to season you. The process that you're in is a season. It's yet but a while. But while you're in that but a while, it's sent to season you. Amen. And then I've learned, too, that there are just some things you just can't go to. You got to grow through. You know, the Bible says with faith and with patience, we are continually inheriting the promise. And when I think about an inheritance, I don't have this kind of setup in my family, but for some of you who may, you know, if your parents left you an estate or a something, you know, a will or whatever, and maybe they were a person of wealthy means, most of the time, if they tragically, you know, passed when the child was a minor, and let's just say that they had about $2 million to give the child, maybe at 6 years old, that child ain't getting that money at no 6 years old, y'all, you know. The parents will usually say, probably have an allotment for the child to live on, but then say, now when that child reaches a certain age, then give them the whole lot. But see, that child couldn't just, all right, go. Nope. That child had to grow and mature. And so there are some blessings that God has in store for us that y'all, we're going to have to grow and mature so that at the right time, because God's timing is perfect, and we sometimes forget that. Because we want what we want when we want it, don't we? We want it now. We are in an instant society. Amazon Prime, honey, have that stuff at your house. You ordered it a second ago. It's right here. You know, we have instant meals, instant this, drive-throughs. It's everything, right? And so we don't understand the art of patience and the art of maturing and the art of growing because we're so used to getting things how we want it. But the Lord is telling a lot of us, if there's a promise, you hold on to that promise. You stay in faith, but you wait in patience until your time. Amen. The second myth of growing pains is growth will always look and feel good. Now, y'all know. And this is funny because I hear this a lot of times when people seem to be doing well in life. You know, they got it all together. They got, you know, the car, the house, the kids, the husband, the everything, the career, the status, the fame, da 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 da. And we go, oh, they're spiritually strong. We look at their things and go, oh, they must be real strong in the Lord because of what they have, the stuff. But I will sit here and tell you today that growth sometimes looks like grit. Sometimes, and this is true even of a flower, when you plant a flower and it's in the ground, it's still growing. Now, you may not see it. It may not be a beautiful rosebud just yet. But in that ground, it's being cultivated. In that ground, it's getting the nutrients and the nourishment it needs so that it can spring up and become something beautiful so that you can see it. But I'm here to tell you that at the time that rosebud sprang up, that wasn't the time it started growing. No, it was continually growing. And some of us are in our ground season where the growth don't look pretty, where the growth looks like grit. It looks like you getting up every day and saying, I can make it another day. It looks like you getting up and taking one more step to it. It looks like you getting up while everybody else is talking and saying, but God, I'm following you in obedience. I don't know what this looks like. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm just walking out obedience, and it's the little steps and we bypass the little steps and we see people's big and we think we want that. But you don't know what that person had to do. I'm reminded that growth looks like God being with you. I'm referencing Genesis, and if you had never read the story of Joseph, I encourage you to go back and read the story of Joseph. But in Genesis 39, the verse that it said, Joseph was sold into slavery. Now, that don't look good, do it? The next verse says, but the Lord was with Joseph. Sold into slavery, but the Lord was with Joseph. Then you drop down to Genesis 39, chapter verse 21. The next thing that happened to Joseph, he was thrown into prison. Now that show don't look good. But it says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. You see, sometimes growth looks like a prison season, don't it? It looks like, Lord, what is this you got me in here? I don't even like this place. What is this place? But if the Lord is with you, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. So growing pains may not always feel good, but they are necessary for your next level. You may have like Joseph, a pit season. That's okay. But baby, when you step into that palace season, hey, and it will happen. Yes, it will. And don't let anyone look at your process, your journey, your story, and belittle you for what you had to go through, for what you're going through to get yourself healthy. You don't know my story. Thank God I'm here. And so one thing I want us to ask, and I don't know if some of you are in the pit season. That's okay if you are. I would like you to ask, God, what are you revealing to me about me in this season? You know, sometimes we're so busy looking for the next, we can't even live in the now. We're looking for, okay, God, what's next? This ain't it. What's next? And what's next? And I will say, I am such a person that does that. I'm always, all right, next. And my husband's like, wait a minute, Ashley, we ain't left this one yet. And so I have to always step back and say, okay, because it's uncomfortable, but Lord, what are you trying to show me in this season? And one thing the Lord spoke to my heart a couple years ago, because we were in a pit season. And I said, Lord, this is not it, Lord. And I'm your child. I know you love me. What is this? And the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, Ashley, I love you too much to leave you there. But I love you too much to take you out of there. Listen, there are some things that the Lord is trying to do in your spirit, in your heart. Allow him to cultivate what he needs to cultivate inside of you. Amen. Don't jump to the next. Don't jump to the next. Stay in the now. Stay in the now. It's uncomfortable, but stay in the now. Stay in the now. And we can start beginning to do what James 1 and 2 and 4 says. It says, this is where growth will call us. When troubles come our way, we can be able to find the joy. We can be able to increase our faith. We can be able to practice patience. The next thing I want to talk about, you know, it said when, right? It said when troubles, when, meaning they will. And I'm not, this is not a negative prophecy or nothing. This is me reading the Bible. They will come. And the moments that you know you're really growing, I want to give you some indicators. You know you're growing when? Number one, in moments of disappointment, you run towards God and not away from God. Now, I was listening to a couple years ago, Lisa Tykerson, and she says, disappointment is an interesting thing because most of us live in disappointment so we never have to feel disappointed. And so we live in this state of disappointment. And a lot of times, Sometimes the disappointment comes because, God, you didn't show up how you were supposed to, but other times the disappointment comes because we didn't do what we were supposed to. And in both cases, I want to give you all working definitions because I want you all to be able to, as believers, understand what you're experiencing and say, who is this from? You know, the word of God says to test fruits and see if they're from the Lord. If it's not from the Lord, you need to get rid of that. And so I want to give you some working definitions because I feel like we do one and think that's God and it's not. So here we go. I want to show you the difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction and condemnation. You know, in Romans 8, it says, now there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. And so you say, well, Ashley, what is condemnation? Condemnation says, I am bad. That's when you identify yourself, your being, with what you did. You say, I am. You start to connect with that thing as if that was you and you were it. I am bad. Conviction says, no, I'm not bad. I just did bad. You see them? See the difference? One is I am. The other one is I did. Now, God will continue to convict you. I think in Romans 14, it says the faith which you have as your own conviction. But happy is he who does not condemn. So condemnation is never from God. So anytime you feel yourself in a state of I am bad because of something I did, that is straight from the enemy. That is not from God. That is not a God correcting you. No, that is an enemy trying to defeat you. Know the difference. Amen. And when you see it in yourself, say, ooh, this ain't God. This ain't from God. Know that it's from Satan. When you have an I am bad moment, what I did bad, the Lord might have told you that, yeah. He might have told you, yeah, you know you messed up, didn't you? But that's okay. Come on back. Come on back. But that is true spiritual maturity is when I say, yeah, I did bad, but my God is still good. And he still loves me regardless. And so when I mess up in my points of heavy sin, we have weights on sin like we always do. You know, we sin real bad today. We'll say we sin a little bit today, but then we sin real bad. Y'all, a sin is a sin is a sin. Can I just tell you? But amen. We tend to want to put weights on our stuff. And so when we did a really, really bad sin, we tend to run from God thinking, oh, no, he don't want nothing to do with me. And that is so the enemy, because that's when you identify with that I am bad. And that is not what God is saying about you. That's not what he ever says about you. And so spiritual growth is learning to run towards God. Number two, in both seasons of plenty, this is when you know you're growing. This is my second point. You know you're growing when, number two, in both seasons of plenty and in seasons of need, you are content. Oh, Jesus. In both seasons of plenty and both seasons of need, you are content. I will say this. Growth often looks like a mixture of opportunities and opposition. It looks like a mixture. You know, we always want to grow. We think we're growing when we're in a summer season. You don't know what summer season is. Summer season is when everything is going your way. Summer season is, you know, it's summertime. Ain't got no care in the world. You're breezing through life. You're breezing through everything. And then you hit a winter season and you go, Take me back to summer, Lord. But I will say this. Growth happens in both. You know, a flower, if you plant a little flower, too much sunlight will kill it. Too much sunlight, it will die. But how many know too much water and rain, it will drown. But to grow, a flower needs both sunlight and it needs both rain. In your life, you're going to need some good things happen, but you're going to need some hard things happen too. Because that's growing you up. That is true growth. It doesn't look just one way. You'll need both. But here's the thing. When those winter seasons come, we can't meditate on it, y'all. It's but a season. I love what Philippians 4:13-14 says. It says, I know what it means to lack. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, I know what it means to lack. And I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I am trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or I'm starving, I'm in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power, it infuses me to conquer every difficult thing. If you're taking notes, write this down. Spiritual growth is learning to lean into God in every season. In a summer season, in a winter season. Lean into God. It was so prophetic, Charlie. I don't even know if Charlie's in here, but he talked about leaning. Leaning on the everlasting. You know, sometimes hymns like that, I love them because they take you back to what's real. Some of those old spiritual hymns we would sing, but if you listen to the words of those things, and if you're going through something, oh, you really, that's like a meditation for you. That I'm leaning on God's everlasting arm. When it's hard, I'm leaning on God's everlasting arm. When it's tough, I'm leaning on God. When I don't see it, I'm leaning. When I need money, I'm leaning. When my marriage is going bad, I'm leaning. When my kids are acting crazy, I am leaning. When I'm in between jobs, I am leaning. Whatever state you are, whatever season it is. Spiritual growth is that we continue to lean. Continue to lean in God. And number three, you know you're growing when, this is not a fun one, I'm sorry, but here it is. When you choose the path of humility over pride. Woo! Let me show you what humility is. Y'all, I can do that. Amen. Let me show you what humility is. Humility defined, it is not weakness, but it's meekness. It's the ability to surrender and submit in total obedience to God. This is in times when even you don't understand why you're submitting, why you're doing, why you're going. But if the Lord says it, you're saying, yes, God. It's choosing to surrender and take humility over pride. I want to go to a story. As I was doing this message, the Lord brought it to my attention. You know, one of our greatest examples that we have in the Word of God is Jesus. And boy, if he didn't model this for us like never before, I don't know. Let's go to Matthew 26. Choosing the path of humility over pride. Matthew 26, it says, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. Chapter 37, he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished. He became distressed. Chapter 38, he told them, my soul, has anybody ever been there? My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. So stay here and keep watch with me. Chapter 39, he went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father. Ooh, have we prayed this before? My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done and not mine. Spiritual maturity looks like, Lord, even though I don't like this season, and sometimes I pray that if there is any other thing you can do, Lord, if I could just leave this season behind, if you could just like bless me this time, I'll be ready next time. I don't know. Like, you know, we do the prayers, like get me out of this one, and I got you on the back end, Lord. Any other way but this way, I can do that. But Jesus even said, yet, not my will, but yours be done. God has a plan for your life. Oh, and it's a good plan. He says, for I know the plans that I have for you. They are good. But we have got to be surrendered and submitted enough, y'all, to stick with the process long enough that we will see that happen in our life. And there are some things that will not just come to you. You have to grow to them. Oftentimes, I'm talking about growing pains, but that pain you feel, you know, that ugh, I don't want to do that, ugh. The feeling of the pain of growth is the death of pride. That's what you're feeling. You're feeling laying down your flesh. You're feeling not want to come out of your whole self and give them a piece of your mind. Amen. You feeling having to be walk in love with those who you really don't care for. You are feeling having to trust God when you have nothing. That is the death of pride. But 1 Peter 5 and 6 and 7, it says, but humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Verse 7 says, he will get, the verse 7 says, give all your worries and all your about you. Your biggest fight in this life will not be you striving for things. Your biggest fight will be you staying in the spirit when the things happen. It's not what life does to you, it's who you become when life is doing that, right? It's what's going on inside of you. Not what life is doing to you. It's not about that. Does life suck? Probably. Is life hard? Absolutely. But it's not about that. It's what is God working inside me? Amen. I think I'm done. You all stand to your